okay, what's it been? 2 weeks and I still have this giant gash on my
Unreal.
Nose.
Unreal.
Today's literally 2 weeks.
Every morning I wake up and check on your nose to make sure your nose hasn't fallen off from like MRSA.
Yeah. So I got this giant cut. And yeah, from today, it was 2 weeks ago. And it's still... It's finally, I feel like finally today, making a little progress.
But you've been training with like Josh, getting him ready for his PFL fight, which will be on Friday.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. And yeah.
So I've been doing stuff.
Definitely haven't given your nose a few days off.
Yeah. And then, of course, then this morning I woke up with the man flu.
You do have the man flu.
Yeah.
The man flu is the regular flu, but you act like you're dying.
I'm a little sick. But there is some studies
that talk that about prove, why men are such pussies that, when they get colds.
That prove that there is something behind the man flu.
Okay, before situation. You start, I do want to say I'm really bitter right
why?
Now.
Why?
Why did Dennis choose to sit specifically next to you?
I don't know. In your nook. He's comfy.
And not with his mother.
Yeah, he's snuggled up right here. He's comfy.
That hurts my feelings.
Yeah. Yeah, he's sleeping.
That hurts. I'm the one who feeds him and keeps him alive.
I know. I literally, the only thing I do is just give him loving.
I do that too, but also keep him alive.
Well, I know. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, he, when it comes to me and Dennis, we just love each other.
All right. Tell me why men are such pussies when they get colds.
Okay. So there's some scientific facts, and I can't remember exactly where I got this from, but there is some facts that do prove that men do suffer from influenza a lot more than women do.
A lot more or a lot worse?
A lot worse, yeah. Yeah, but also men get sick more too.
I believe that, because I will say, if I get sick, you always get sick too.
Yes.
And when you get sick, I would say
a lot of times you don't.
No.
Or you get like a very
mild case.
Yeah. Yeah. In at least one study reviewing 6 years of data, men were hospitalized with the flu more often than women. Another reported more deaths among men than women due to the flu.
Okay, but is that because doctors don't take women health care seriously?
Ooh.
There's an argument there as well.
Oh boy. Yeah. So
don't
anyways.
Even get me started on the medical
okay, yeah, system. Yeah, yeah. Let's not get started with that. But anyways, I've got this gash on my nose still, and I woke up a little sick.
You woke up a little hoarse.
Yeah.
I have to take care of you today.
Yeah, I was tossing and turning all night, and every time I was just about asleep, I was like, I could feel myself sleeping. Another episode of Sex and the City came on in that.
And you were that, hooked.
No, that horrible, horrible entrance song.
Dun, 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 dun,
oh, dun, my dun, gosh. Dun, dun. Yeah, it was like
so good.
2:49 exactly in the morning.
And, well, you'll be drinking tea. I am drinking my lavender love story that I just made on Kick-Ass Cocktails, my first ever Kick-Ass Cocktails episode.
Yep.
It will be airing this Friday.
Yeah, I thought you did a good job.
At 5 p.m.
Yeah,
I'm only going to get better. I know how to make cocktails.
Yes. Oh, you know how to make a cocktail.
I know how to drink cocktails.
Yes.
Telling people is a different story, because I did have to measure the ingredients this time.
Yeah, you're a pro of the cocktails.
Pro cocktail.
You I noticed you made two as well.
One for me and one for you, the listeners.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
but when I'm it's on your nightstand, so when I'm done with this one, I'll take
then
that
I'll
one.
Pass that one over.
Good call.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so we still have family in town. Let's just jump into this. I have kind of some stuff that I think the listeners don't know about you.
Okay.
Or yeah. Just so they can get a better idea of who you are as a person.
Wow. Okay.
I love it. So okay. Anyways, we have family here, and it's your side
yeah.
of the family.
Yep,
it's your
side.
Dad, your sister, brother-in-law, and their three kids.
Yeah.
And of course, we've been having an incredible time getting in the hot tub late at night and just sharing like funny stories.
Yes.
Some of which are induced by drugs and alcohol. Just kidding. We've been drinking.
Yeah, we've had.
And it helps get the stories flowing.
Yes, yes.
And one of the ones that I was reminded of was the first time I went back to your hometown.
Yes.
Ever in Nanelchik, Alaska.
Uh-huh.
This was the first time I ever met anybody you grew up with, saw your school, saw the bar your dad owned, which I do want to get into the bar as well.
Yeah.
But I had to take one for the team.
The team being, which is funny, our team.
Great jersey you're wearing, because I took one for that team.
Yeah.
And would you like to tell the story, set the precedence of what happened?
So, yeah, this was the first time. And
not my first time in Alaska, my first time in Nanelchik, your hometown.
Yeah, first time in Nanelchik, meeting everyone. It was a beautiful summer day. Really beautiful nice. Beautiful
summer day.
We had borrowed, I believe at the time, it was my dad's truck, right?
Yes, your dad was the one who owned it, but it was stationed somewhere in Nanelchik at somebody's house.
Yeah, so anyways, we're driving this thing around, and we're going out to what's known as the hangar in Nanelchik, and it's an airplane hangar. Yeah, it's a plane hangar, but, you know, little puddle jumpers or whatever, Super Cubs. Our good family friend, Tracy Covey, he owns a plane. He takes us up and when we're there and stuff. So we have a lot of fun doing that. But anyway, so we're going out
to hang out with everybody. Let me just set it up.
Okay.
So you brought me back to your hometown. We're like, all right, we need a car. You go get your dad's truck. And you're like, let me drive you around my hometown. You do a beautiful summer day.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is so romantic. I'm riding shotgun with my hot man in his Alaskan country hometown. Driving up this dirt road, we go to this airplane hangar. Well, we pull up and the gate's closed.
Yeah.
And we're like, dang, all right, well, we'll come back. And we didn't want to, like, open the gate or anything because it was locked. So you're like, all right, put it in reverse, start backing up. Backing up. You keep backing up. Straight into a ditch.
Yeah. Yeah. The roads there aren't crazy developed, and they're all mostly all dirt roads.
But you grew up there your entire life, so you had to know the ditch was there.
Yeah, well, not in that specific spot, but
anyways, back into the ditch.
Yes.
You panic. Oh, I have a video of this. This is great.
We do have a video.
You back into the ditch, and you're just freaking out because you couldn't get it out.
Yeah.
So everyone were getting out of the truck, trying to help you get it out. Truck never gets out. We have to have somebody come pull us out. They pull the truck out. You start to get excited for a second because it's unstuck.
Yeah.
And then we just see the drive line of the truck just drop to the ground.
Yeah. Yeah. I really fucked that.
Yes. But before we could get people to come help us, you're like, panic. You're like, babe, you got to tell people you did this. You got to tell people.
You got to tell people you were driving.
Please tell people that you were driving because they won't get mad at you. Nobody will get mad at you. I'm like, this is my first time here and I'm supposed to claim that I just crashed and totaled a truck.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to hate me. I'm going to look like such a dumb blonde. And I'm a country girl at heart. I grew up driving trucks. I grew up doing this kind of stuff. And now I have to look like this dumb blonde. Like, first time I drive a truck, I crashed into a ditch. So I did. I take one for the team.
Yep, you
I
said, did.
I'm really sorry. Austin wanted me to drive. God knows why.
Yeah.
But he wanted me to drive. I'm so sorry. And no, of course, nobody could be mad at me because it was the first time they met me. It's fine. So we get the truck out, figure out that it's totaled. And I'm like dying on the inside because everyone thinks I just totaled this truck. That's your dad's.
Yes.
And, you know, later on, drinks start flowing. We're relaxed. I'm like, okay, does everyone here know Austin was actually the one who crashed the truck? And they're like, oh yeah, we know.
Yeah, we know. Yeah. Yeah, because this wasn't the first time that I've been home on, you know, vacation or on break, and I've had some mishaps with vehicles there.
So did everybody know without reasonable doubt that you crashed the truck?
Because I've done it before.
Nice.
Yeah. So yeah, they knew. Yeah. Yeah. No one really trusts me when with vehicles when we get back home. So,
yeah. Well, anyway, so we have our family in town. They're from Alaska.
Yeah.
With the three.
Which also, too, Your family had been in town. We're going on like 4 weeks of having family here. My dad was there with that group. Mm-hmm. He went back home, and then we called him up.
Like, hey,
last week we're like, hey, do you want to come back? And anyways,
so we're definitely getting our share of family time in.
Old Papa Puss.
Old Papa Puss. I know Paxton calls your dad Papa Puss.
Yeah, our little 5-year-old nephew calls him Papa Pussy.
Where did he get that from?
Maybe uncle.
Maybe Uncle Austin taught him to say Papa Pussy.
Papa Pussy. Yeah, he gets in trouble for that.
He does get in trouble for that.
And then he always goes, Uncle Austin told me.
He throws you under the bus.
Yeah.
Real family of throwing people under the bus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so I wanted to talk about a few things, like I said, from your hometown.
Yeah.
Now, so it's interesting. We talked a little bit last week about having the kids here and watching. You know, it's like, obviously, we don't have kids.
Yeah.
And we grew up in a completely different era.
Yeah.
So now just kind of seeing the things that they do in comparison to us is really interesting.
It's different. Yeah.
It's different. Like, we wake up every morning, the kids are like FaceTiming their friends on their iPads.
Yes.
And I just couldn't imagine, like, you know, I didn't get a cell phone until I was in high school and I had prepaid minutes.
Yeah.
And you couldn't go over your minutes.
Yeah.
And, you know, I remember the era of like getting, you know, MySpace and Facebook. But that was, you know, a little later on.
So yeah, of course.
We weren't the era of technology. And it just made me think, like, watching them like game and use technology, like, I know there's a lot of doubt on society right now as a whole.
Yeah.
But looking at the younger generation, like we've been able to, they're so far like technologically advanced than we were.
Yep.
I just feel like, although I think there's parts of technology and social media and this and that that is negative and terrible for kids.
Of course. Yeah.
But seeing how far they, what they can do with technology is so impressive.
Yeah.
Like, I do feel like we're going to have an era of like new geniuses and new like progression and technological advances because there's this entire generation of kids that is about to, you know, turn into teenagers and adults and kind of take over.
Yeah. Well, the, and like what we talked about too is, all the access to information and you know, learning things and stuff that they all have literally at their fingertips where, we didn't start getting that stuff until we were older. But then if you go back other generations, they didn't get any of that stuff until they were like way older.
In the way I see it. So I grew up in a really, really, really small town called Dayton, Oregon.
Yeah.
I was born and raised there. Of course, my Wikipedia page says something totally different, but I'm from Dayton, Oregon.
Yeah.
And I grew up in a farming community. So very, very small town farming community. Every morning they'd say the announcements in English and Spanish. My best friend was Hispanic and I could speak fluent Spanish in second grade. I could say the morning announcements in Spanish. They'd like, I would always volunteer to do them in Spanish. I was just so far advanced in my like language skills because you can pick things up when you're young and it's so much harder to pick it up as an adult. It's like your brain just can't, like, it's not as moldable. So I think this younger generation having technology is so good in like as far as like they're just gonna be so smart when it comes to like technology because we just didn't have that.
But at the same time though too, a lot of these you know, technological things that they have and have access to are like mind numbing and brain numbing too, and they're
totally agree with that too.
They are like not to throw anybody under the bus, but you know, at dinner last night, we're at dinner and you saw the people sitting next to us. It was a mom and a kid. The kid had headphones on and his iPad out while they were at dinner.
Whole time. So I think there's positive and negative. Yeah, they're losing like the social cues, the social like, and I think the creativity too. Like, honestly, when I grew up in the country, like there was these funny memes about like, you know, you didn't have your iPad in the car as a kid. You'd watch which raindrop would win the race down the window the fastest. Yeah. And that was like entertainment.
Oh yeah.
Or like I made mud castles for my worms.
Yeah.
And I would go hunt for salamanders and snakes and frogs. And
yeah.
And so I think there could be an element of like creativity lost.
Yeah.
With like social media, but But I don't know. I'm trying to think of it in a positive aspect.
Yeah, and I think it's, you know, it comes to down to the parents and limiting access to a certain point, balance, you know, and balance. Yeah, because, you know, our nieces and nephews, they've been playing with bugs and out there and doing stuff like that too. And,
definitely. And,
yeah, so.
And but I feel like they have the best of both worlds because they still live in Alaska where we want to retire. They have the wilderness and nature and all of that at their fingertips as well as like new age technology. And
Yeah. Nanilchik, where I'm from, is like where we're at today, but like 10 years ago or so. You know, it's always funny. Like when something's popular here or like in the lower 48s or in the continental U.S. when things are popular there, it takes a couple weeks legitimately for them to catch on in Alaska.
It's even longer than you think because I grew up in Oregon, and me going from Oregon to like, come to me, Dennis. Oh, unreal.
Oh, right back to that.
That hurts my feelings. Yeah. Okay. So growing up, if you're just listening, Dennis is hurting my feelings because he won't sit on my lap. Unreal. Okay, so I grew up in Oregon.
Yeah.
So, of course, I grew up in rural Oregon. So things that were popular in Portland, it would take a while for it to like trickle down to the country of Oregon. But I believe everything on the East Coast comes first.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost like New York and like the big East Coast hubs are the ones who get like new hits, new clothing, new this and that, and then it just kind of like falls through the United States and ends in Alaska,
moves west,
slowly moves west
in Alaska.
Yeah because there's things that were way cooler like on the East Coast that took a few years to make it to the West Coast.
It's kind of funny.
It is kind of funny. Stop smiling like that. I know that you're just rubbing it in my face that Dennis is on your lap.
Oh no,
you are.
Yeah.
Okay, so growing up in a small town, I guess I grew up in a really small town, but you grew up in an extremely small town.
Yeah.
Your dad owned the bar in Alaska. What was it like to have only like 17 kids graduate with you? I guess, did you realize at the time how small of a world you lived in?
Not really, because, you know, I never knew any other way or whatever. I never went to another school, never went to a big school. And I think the biggest class I had at one point was, I think we had like 30 kids or something. And that was probably in like fifth or sixth grade. And then it just kind of started to decline a little bit. But you know, it's like, the saying, you know, ignorance is bliss. And when you're not used to, or you don't see these other things, you don't really know. But I learned a lot of, I was very self-reliant. I've talked about before, like I was the only one on the wrestling team for multiple years and stuff like that. So I'd have to figure out things to do or training to do on my own. And I had this book that had a bunch of like wrestling moves and stuff that my coach gave me. And, you know, I'd read through the book and I'd find moves and stuff that I wanted to like learn and get down and all that. Yeah. So,
and see, I think that's like, if that doesn't say that anybody, like opportunity is always there.
Yeah.
And it truly comes down to hard work.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Because you had every opportunity to fail.
Yeah. You
know, being the only kid on your high school wrestling team.
And yeah. Yeah. And it's, but you know, and then also on the flip side too, you know, who knows if I would have went to a big school or went somewhere with more opportunities, you know, what I would have done or would I have learn the traits that I feel like have gotten me to a successful point in my life, you know, maybe not. Mm-hmm. And, you know, cause I think burning out in, athletics and like certain things is a real thing, you know, and
it definitely is.
And, so I don't really know, but, But I'm happy with, obviously, the way my life has turned out. The way that
it went. And it is funny to see the two different paths, because I feel like I wouldn't have found MMA and fighting if I wouldn't have moved out of my small town.
Yes.
I needed to leave my small town to find something else, something new, something more, bigger. And even though I didn't move to even a big town, I moved to Reno, Nevada.
Yeah.
I will say the high school that I went to, I think at the time, had like 4,000 kids at it. Like,
that's crazy.
Massive school. And went there for just a year before I decided to move on to college. Or I went to community college when I was 16.
Yep.
But me moving to Reno is what helped me find the Lion's Den.
Yeah.
And Ken Shamrock.
Yeah.
And that's how I got Ken Shamrock as my first ever MMA coach, was moving to Reno, Nevada.
Yeah.
And I had absolutely no idea who he was. Walked into the gym. He was this crazy, crazy man.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, now looking back, I'm like, wow, what a cool story to have him be like my first head coach.
Exactly. Yeah. That is crazy. That's so cool.
Yeah.
But yeah.
You still have your dad here.
Still got my dad.
I tried to get him on the podcast.
We tried. We talked
really
to him
hard because he's funny and he's got stories.
He's
a Vietnam vet, proud, owned a bar. Just couldn't come on the podcast and talk about it.
Yeah, not really his thing.
No.
Yeah,
okay.
Getting on camera and
now, okay, so growing up in Alaska,
there's,
in a sense, it's a little bit like the Wild West. Like, there's not as many rules.
Yeah.
Like, or I guess there's rules, you just don't really have to follow them.
For sure, yeah.
Talk about the first time, I guess not the first time, they you started drinking. Because your dad owned a bar. I mean, you just told me so many stories about how your dad would have you like challenge people in the bar and come in and like wrestle them.
Oh yeah. I mean, yeah, that was kind of a funny part of, yeah, that is, you know, I was exposed to stuff like that at a young age, and but really, I mean, I think I can remember back having my first beer at like 12 or 13. And that was from commercial fishing because our family, the other side, my stepfather, his family, they owned commercial fishing set nets and some sites on the Cook Inlet. And, you know, and as kids, we would go and do stuff and help. And, you know, when you get done for the day, everyone's drinking beers and
if you
know,
can go do a man's job.
Yeah.
You get to be rewarded like a man.
Yeah. So I remember finishing up the first day that I decided that I was going to have some beers. Like I said, I think I was 12 and had some older friends / family who worked to like 14, 15. And we had all kind of planned like, okay, when we're done today, before we go out, let's go find some beers. Cause we'd have like a tote full of ice and beer always at our fish site. It was called Humpy Point. So we would go and we're like, okay, I'm going to drink three. He's going to drink four. And so we'd take them and go and hide them. Anyways, you know, we got done working. We went back up by the campfire because we'd camp there for the fishing season, which, you know, was like 6 weeks or whatever. And I just remember we're by the fire and we're sneaking off and we're pounding beers. And at the time, it's like the first time ever drinking. So
yeah.
I remember not really knowing if I felt drunk
not
or
sure.
not. But I do remember going to bed that night and waking up, and I believe I peed the bed.
Nice.
Yeah. So I had woke up the next morning and...
You're like, okay, maybe I was drunk.
Yeah. I was like, oh, maybe I was a little drunk. But so, you know, the other thing too, you know, being from a small town with not a lot of opportunities and stuff. Yeah. One of the negatives is, you know, you do find things to do, and you know, there's a lot of boredom and a lot of stuff like that. And I do feel like, you know, alcohol.
Well, that's why like sports and athletics and extracurricular activities are so important in small towns
yes.
because that's what you do.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't have something to do, you go drink. You go sit by the river and you drink.
Oh,
you go,
for sure.
That's how you get so many people with that drunk drive. Yeah. How you get teens drinking at a young age, because that was the difference when I lived in a small town. There was nothing to do. Yeah. So you just got in trouble.
Yeah. And if it wasn't for athletics and stuff, I definitely would have been doing, you know, I talk and joke about drinking and having fun as a young kid, but athletics were the things that kept me from not doing it. And
yeah.
And if it wasn't for that, you know, I had a lot of friends who definitely went down some bad paths, and, you know, RIP to a couple of them and, mm-hmm. and stuff. And because there just wasn't a lot to do.
Can I say what I want to say?
Yeah.
You should tell that to the new principal.
Yes, I know.
At your school.
Yeah. But it's an important and, you know, but it's one of those things. Small town, it's hard because it takes dedicated adults and individuals to, you know, put on these things. And when you live in a town with, you know, less than 500 people or 500 people, yep. there's not a whole lot of adults who have the time or want to put the effort into
mm-hmm. or care enough
or about, care enough yeah
kids
yeah just and so
put programs in place
to, yeah and it's tough. And shout out to our brother-in-law, because he does do that, Nick.
Yeah. And then the McCorsons, they have, we can tag their their program that they have. It's called Thrive.
Yep.
And they're doing it on their own outside of the school district, putting together like a fund for kids and just basically to guide them in art and school and sports and help them have opportunities to do more than what's offered currently.
Yep, exactly. So yeah, you know, looking back, I'd never change anything about like where I grew up and where I'm from, but you know, you always wonder, like,
what if
and, you know, what if things are different and all that. But yeah,
but I will say, if you want to go back and if you're curious about what Austin's hometown looks like, we used to film vlogs, just the two of us.
Yeah.
And I think we have at least 3 or 4 episodes of Alaska, and they're pinned to our YouTube channel. There's a specific series where we talk about being in Alaska, you growing up there. You get to see your school, see all these crazy places. I think you see the hangar where you crashed the truck.
Oh yeah.
It is why we do. I do think that we'll probably always go back to Alaska. We'll probably we own property there, but I think we're going to try to build a house there soon.
And yeah.
Maybe retire in Alaska at some point. It is. I do miss. I love living in Florida for the perks.
Yeah.
But I miss the small town feeling.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. But then also, you know, we have our family here and we're trying to talk them into moving here and stuff, because I don't know. I guess when I like really get down to it, maybe I do wish I lived, or I had grown up in a bigger place, because I look at our nieces and nephew and I see the opportunities or the potential that they have that they don't have access to in Nenolchik. And so I'm like, man, you guys need to come here and put the one kid in swimming and the other one in martial arts and gymnastics and stuff. And just stuff that really isn't accessible where we're at there. So,
yeah. And for me, I mean, I got out of high school as soon as I could. I needed to get out of small towns. It was, small towns can be a very toxic place.
Which we've talked about before. For sure.
It almost feels like, you know, everybody knows your business, where it's a lot easier to blend in bigger cities.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm happy I got out of my small town when I did, but I guess I wish it could have happened sooner.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I mean, think about like relationships or relationship opportunities and stuff. Like, you know,
how many girlfriends could you have?
Exactly. Because when you're in a school like that, half of the school is your family.
Yeah.
And so like living
you end up dating your cousin.
Yeah. So it's, it's strange, you know, and there's not like, there's not a lot of opportunities to meet people or meet, you know, a quote unquote significant other and stuff.
But
and
I do think one, like, you know, there's a lot of negatives. There's a lot of pros too. Yeah. It is cool for me to like look at you and be like, oh, you have a hometown.
Yeah.
It's Nenelchik.
Yeah.
Whereas I don't feel like I have a hometown. You're like, oh, yeah. Where's your hometown? Like, yeah. Well, I grew up in Oregon. I grew up kind of all over. I lived in Dayton. I lived in Newburgh. I kind of, for me, feel like I grew up in Reno.
Yeah.
Because that's where, like, my childhood was in Oregon. I was in Reno from 14 to, like, 18. So, but that's, you know, where I learned to drive a car, where,
yeah,
that kind of stuff. And then I moved to Vegas when I was 18, lived there for a year.
Yeah.
Sacramento for 3 years.
I always think of Reno when I think of you, or when you say, hometown. Yeah, I always think of Reno.
Well, for me, it's because I still love Reno.
Yeah.
Too. And I would go back there in a heartbeat. A lot of my, like, a lot of my best memories are in Reno.
Yeah.
And I think
I have some fun memories from Reno too.
Yeah, I bet you do. You know, we tried to do like mental math. There was a period where I lived in Reno and you went there for wrestling.
Yes.
And me and my friend Alexa used to go to the casino. It was right now it's called the GSR.
But well, there was the Silver Legacy.
There's the Silver Legacy Circus. Yeah. Yes. But we would, when the wrestlers would come into town, we'd go like scope for dudes and go to the bowling alley. So there's a chance that I saw you.
We were there. Yeah. Because I started, so my senior year of high school was 2007, 2008. And that was the first year that I went as a high schooler to the Reno Tournament of Champions, the RTC. Yeah. And then subsequently, after high school, then on to college, we would go there because they would do it, the high school and the college tournament, I think in back-to-back days is what it would be. And so then we would go back for, I'd go there for college, and I wrestled my freshman, sophomore, junior, senior year, I believe. So yeah, I did 5 years in a row from 2007, 2008 to whatever 5 years from there is.
Oh, I was 2012. There. And I was scoping you out.
You saw me. We saw each other.
I saw you for sure. And I thought you were really hot.
Actually, and then I went, because I coached 2 years after. Then I went there too. So I did like 7 years in a row
did
there.
Did you ever go to MMA fights in Reno?
I never went to MMA fights. We did 1 year do the Santa Crawl, I believe.
I Santa Crawled. Yeah, okay, so we did the Santa Crawl. Okay, let's talk about Reno for a second. Reno is awesome. It still has the small town feel.
Well, it's the biggest little city in the
world. Biggest little city in the world. It's got a lot of small town things you can do. You can, I mean, I went and rode dirt bikes right out my back door. You could go to Pyramid Lake. You could go to Tahoe.
Yeah.
It was still had that like small town opportunity, like the fun outdoorsy stuff.
Yeah.
But also had like all the big city cool stuff too. So we had like the Santa Crawl Epic with the zombie crawl.
Oh, crazy.
That was fun, which was for Halloween. And you would go like dress up downtown either as a zombie. I went as a zombie slayer, so I was in like all military combat stuff. It really was a cool place to live. Like,
yeah, I mean, when I think back to about that time, like for me, Reno was such a big deal and such a big, because you know, I'm going from Nenelchik, Alaska to Reno. And then where I went to school in college, Ashland, Oregon, really small school in Southern Oregon, and you know, not big city or anything like that. So then going from there to Reno was a big deal for us too, and always a fun time of the year.
I know. Yeah, there is a lot of that I miss about Reno. Like going to the Aces games were really cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would say like that's where I did all my real growing up. That's where I
in Reno.
It's where I like got my first job, got my driver's license, went to college for like a short period of time, did all those the like growing up things.
Yeah, yeah.
But of course, I'm like, I was born in Oregon, so I have my Oregon roots.
Yeah, you're Oregonian.
No, I don't think so. I'm a Floridian.
Do you want this other cocktail?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Pass it over. So today, or not, yeah. So I filmed my first episode of Kick-Ass Cocktails, and we made this beautiful little concoction.
Yep. You love
it's
it.
It's good. It's really
I couldn't.
Good.
I can't even taste. My nose is so plugged up, I can't Lavender even taste love anything story. Right now. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, sweetheart.
Yep.
Okay. One thing that we're excited for, though, so I still haven't gone to fight contract.
Oh, yes.
As far as I know, my fight is still on.
Yep.
We should update everybody. I think you have an opponent now.
I do. Yeah. I should be Our manager said I was getting my contract this week, but it looks like it's probably going to be next week.
So. You got your contract. I'm still waiting for mine. So we got fights coming up, but so far our plan is to fight, come back here for a little bit, see what's going on.
Yeah.
And then probably go to Alaska.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. So my fight's June 14th. The date for you is still up in the
TBD,
air.
TBD, apparently.
Yeah, still. So yeah, I think we'll fight. We'll come back here. We did say we'd stop in Oregon.
We need to go to Oregon.
Yep. We need to go to our beach house. Go see. Yeah.
We bought, when my grandpa passed away, we bought his beach house.
Yeah.
We have not been there.
No, we have not.
Since our wedding. And that was going on 6 years ago.
Yes. We need to go back.
Yeah, we do.
So, yeah. So we'll make a little stop in
Pit Oregon. Stop in Oregon.
And then we want to go back. In Nanilchik, they have Salmon Fest.
Salmon Fest, which is very fun.
Yeah, big music festival, end of July. Look it up if you aren't familiar with it, but it is a ton of fun. It's like 3 days of, you know, folk music, a lot of music like that, country and stuff. And I think they say it legitimately. I think Nanilchik is around... Oh, maybe 4,000 people, the population. Or no. Sorry, not 4,000. I think 800 people is the population.
That's right now. That's crazy.
But for Salmon Fest, it jumps up to like 10,000 or something. It's crazy. A lot of attendees every year. So it's a good deal.
It's a really good time.
Fun time.
The hard thing. Okay, so this is the other thing about living in like a rural area. So last time we were in Alaska, we got campers. Or not last time.
Yeah.
The last time we stayed in Nanilchik, we rented campers. So the three of us, meaning me, you, and Dennis.
Yeah.
Ended up being a camper. Well, Dennis ended up getting some sort of like fungus or virus of some kind.
Yeah.
He got so sick.
Yeah.
And there was not a vet within a, 2 hour drive, 4 hour drive to Anchorage?
Yeah. I mean, it was... He started getting really sick at like 11 p.m. or something, and to the point where we were like, okay, we gotta take him
to the hospital.
But nothing was open until Anchorage, and Anchorage is like a 4 hour drive. So we're getting ready to head out to Anchorage at midnight and
drive 4 hours to the emergency vet. Luckily, I was able to get on with like a televet, which I believe that's one good thing that's come from COVID. Like whenever people blah blah blah, you like, I'm happy that the world's been able to adapt to all the shit, right?
Yeah,
so they adapted. Now there's a lot more like online resources. I was able to find a televet that was based out of like the UK.
Yeah
I was able to FaceTime with a vet in Europe. And he was able to like FaceTime and tell me like, all right, poke his belly. That looks good. Let me see his gums. All right, he's not too dehydrated yet. Yeah. Let me examine this and that. And they were like, okay, he's going to be fine for the night. You don't need to like panic, but get him to the vet as soon as you can.
Yeah.
But don't worry. He's not going to, like, basically not going to die tonight.
So yeah.
Like, okay, good. We were able to take him to the vet, which was a little bit closer.
In Soldotna.
In Soldotna the next day. Drove him there. He had to stay for the night.
Yeah.
And he just got an IV and he had antibiotics and he was totally fine.
And he was good. Yeah.
And now he's healthy as ever.
Yep. So, yeah. All right. This weekend, UFC 300.
UFC 300.
UFC.
I'm so excited.
I know.
This is one of the best cards I've ever looked forward to.
Yeah. This is an exciting. Of course, we're talking about it now. And
after.
This will have already aired.
But I wanted to go through and do... not the full prelim card, but let's talk Kayla Harris and Holly Holmes, and then we'll do our main card predictions.
Okay, cool. Yeah, but I mean, like, down the line, the whole card, even early prelims. Like,
oh, they're all really good.
Moicano, our teammate, fighting Jalen Turner is going to be a crazy.
All right, then
fight.
Let's do the whole card. Start your early prelims.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, looking at the card, early prelims is sick. Bobby Green, Jim Miller, who's been on UFC 100, 200, and now on 300,
Jessica
which is
Jessica Andrade,
insane.
Marina Rodriguez is a really good fight.
Yep. Cody and Figueroa to start everything off. It's crazy. Yeah. Yeah, some really interesting.
Really interesting matchups. All right. I want to talk about Holly and Kayla. Obviously, okay, yeah. We're teammates with Kayla Harrison.
Prelim card. Yep.
We're on the prelims currently. So I truly watching Kayla Harrison train.
Yeah.
Knowing, too, everything that she has going on in her life with her kids. And yeah, just yeah, like, yeah. She works harder than I would say 99% of people I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And that works hard in her life, in her training, and everything.
Yeah.
So going into this, of course, I have never trained with her personally because we just are, you know.
Different weight classes.
Different weight, yeah. Obviously different weight classes, but doing different things.
Yeah.
I have no doubt she wins this fight.
Yeah.
At all. I am curious how the weight cut's going to affect her.
Yeah, so there's that. I was thinking about it earlier, too.
Yeah.
You know, she's fought primarily in the PFL. She did do that one fight where she fought in Invicta, right?
Yes.
And so, but the PFL doesn't, well, I believe they changed the rules now, but they didn't allow elbows.
Now they do.
And now, yeah, now they do. They allow elbows now, right? The yes. PFL. But when she fought in Invicta and she was able to use elbows, it made a big difference in her
ground. Oh my gosh. Her ground game with elbows is going to be unreal.
Yeah.
And then you have to look at the people she's beat in the PFL. Like Laressa Pacheco.
Yes.
Is no fucking joke.
Yeah. She's looked good. Insane.
And that's a fight for the PFL I'm excited for is yeah. Laressa and Chris Cyborg if that yeah. matchup ever happens.
Yeah. That's going to be crazy.
That will be incredible. Okay. I digress. Continue.
Okay. So anyways, that fight. Holly Holm, Kayla, going to be awesome.
Yep.
Just, yeah. But, you know, we believe what we think will happen.
Yes.
Then we got Aljamain and Calvin Kattar. Another really awesome fight. For a long time, I thought Calvin had the best jab in MMA.
Uh-huh.
Aljamain, obviously, the ex-featherweight champion. Jiří and Alexander Rakic, another really good one. Jiří was the ex-light heavyweight champion.
Are you going to pick your winners on either of those?
Oh, gosh. Calvin and Aljamain. I think I'm going to go with Aljamain.
Okay.
I really do. I've always really liked watching Calvin Kattar fight because I think he utilizes his jab really good.
Okay. I have a weird question just because okay. I'm looking. Is Max Holloway and Justin Gaethje off the card? Why does it say canceled on ESPN?
Oh, no. I think it's good. Yeah.
It says canceled above Max Holloway.
Really?
Yeah.
Weird. I don't know. I
guess we're going to find out. All right. You've trained a little
yeah,
with...
Yeah, what the heck?
You've trained a little bit with Bo Nickel. Tell me about that.
He's a stud. Awesome. He's, I mean, obviously his grappling pedigree. And you got to figure a guy like that who... It has been so on top of his game for grappling and such a dominant wrestler. You know, he's gonna be able to pick up fighting and stuff like quick, and which mm-hmm. he obviously has proven to do. So, I mean, what did we say earlier? We were talking about he was like the biggest favorite
like ever
or something. Mm-hmm. So, the guy he's fighting, Cody Brundage. I think he's been around a little bit. You know, he's been in the UFC for a little bit too. I believe he wrestled in college as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's that aspect of it. And he knows how to wrestle. But I think, you know.
You're going Bo Nickel?
Yeah.
All absolutely. Right. Can we get a little fast heaters? All yes. right. Oliveira versus Armon.
Ooh, I'm going to go Armon because okay. he's our teammate.
Yep. Armon. Gaethje Holloway.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
That's a tough one.
I'm going to go Gaethje.
I'm leaning towards Gaethje too. Yeah.
I'm going to go Gaethje.
All right.
Yeah, something. I don't know.
Wele Yan?
Wele.
Wele, same.
Yeah.
She's incredible.
Yeah, she is.
Yan is incredible too.
Yeah, yeah.
I just, for what I've seen out of Wele is pretty impressive. Yeah. All right, Alex Jamal.
Pereira. I think so too. Yeah, I'm not really sure. People weren't really excited about that being the main event. Yeah, and admittedly, I mean, I've watched Jamal Hill.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking back right now to see like okay. his last few fights. All right. But
I do have questions from the fans.
Okay.
Before we end this podcast.
Okay. Yeah.
But
I think I'm going Pereira.
All right.
Okay. Hit me.
Oh yes. Oh my gosh. Okay. I'm going to use this to prep our next podcast.
Okay.
Someone wants to know, did the Illuminati contact you?
Oh gosh.
No.
Don't get me started on this.
They have not contacted me yet.
Yeah.
But I don't think they like me very much.
Really? Oh, don't put this stuff out there.
Why?
Because that's what kind of scares me.
Okay. Anyway, so the next podcast, I think we need to talk a little bit. So we have our conspiracy theories prepped. We each wanted
to... Which we had said we were going to do this one.
Yeah, but you said you wanted to do some research and have a stance on things.
Yes, I do.
So next week will be our conspiracy theory episode where we talk about... It, amongst other things, we'll talk about other stuff on the next podcast.
Yeah, for sure.
I want to talk about the Diddy situation.
Oh boy.
Because for me, this ties into a conspiracy theory I've had for years.
Yeah.
I, 90s baby, grew up West Coast rap my entire life.
Yeah.
I have my own conspiracy theories about the Tupac situation.
Yeah.
And how Diddy plays into that. Anyways,
I have nothing to say.
You have to get your tinfoil hat ready.
I will.
We're talking conspiracy theories next episode.
I know.
Okay. Oh, Brazil loves me. Thank you, Brazil.
Oh, nice.
Someone wants to know if I got banged in the last outfit I was wearing.
What was the last outfit?
It was the one I wore for Kick-Ass Cocktails.
Oh,
it was
yes.
very sexy outfit.
Yeah, it was.
No,
sexy.
I did not.
No, we went from one to the next,
and Austin has a cold, so.
Yeah, I'm sick.
I'm going to be high and dry for a bit.
Oh, cripes.
Okay. Do you have any interest in collecting any other cards, i.e. Pokemon cards?
Oh, no, I do not.
No.
I do collect Kobe Bryant. A little bit of basketball, not a whole lot. I'm semi-intrigued in... maybe picking up a couple of Victor Wembanyama, if I'm pronouncing that right, some Wemby cards, because just watching him, like, that dude's insane. He's a top 10 NBA player right now, and and the skill set he has, I don't know that we will ever see someone like this. So
okay.
I am interested in picking up a few of his cards.
Awesome. Someone said I'm a smoke show.
Oh, yes.
Someone want to know why I'm so sexy. Well, because I have a hot husband.
Yeah.
He's going to leave me now that I'm 30. I'm not going to speak that to the world, actually.
No, don't speak that.
No, I'm a hot 30.
Yes, come on.
Hot 30. You couldn't hand a younger version of me.
Oh, gosh.
Could you?
No, I couldn't.
No, I don't think so either. Yeah. The rest are pretty dirty. Yeah. What three things would you take to a deserted island?
Ooh, three things to a deserted island?
Yes.
Okay.
I would take you.
Okay.
Dennis.
Yeah.
Probably a weapon of some kind. Maybe a water filtration system.
Really?
That'd be easy. Because then I could use everything else the island provides to survive.
Okay. Yeah. Because
that's, boom, water, check. I got one thing checked off.
Okay. I would take, I think you and Dennis kind of come as a pair. So I would take you and Dennis. That's one.
Okay.
I would take.
Fine. Then I get a fire starter.
Okay. I would take a case of 2020 Prism football. And then I'd probably do a second case of 2020 Prism football.
My.
Because we're on this deserted island.
Yeah, but when you open them, it's over.
Yeah.
And then I would
savor them, though. I'd have 24 boxes and then we would use the cardboard and, you know,
and
some
the
of the base
cards
for fire starter. they are very shiny. I think we could probably get like a flame from it. A case of Prism could actually come into handy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm going to ask you this.
Okay.
What's my love language? We've talked a little bit about
love physical touch.
Yeah.
Yeah, physical touch.
Yeah, touch me, baby.
Yep.
How often should guys, how often are you guys intimate? Or how often should a couple be intimate? is it important? We've talked about this.
Yeah.
It depends on each relationship.
Yeah.
Intimacy, extremely important.
Yes. Yeah. We definitely, we put an emphasis on intimacy.
We make sure it's a priority.
Yep.
So.
So, yeah. It usually, you know, it's every other day, every couple days, never ever longer than a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm due.
Yeah.
The rest are just, you know, average. Can I be your cuck?
Oh God.
Can I sniff your feet?
Oh boy.
Anyways, all right. We need to get you to bed.
Yes, I need to.
You're struggling.
Well, I have sucked it up.
Thank you for gripping down on our Kick-Ass Love Story podcast.
I did.
I'm going to finish my cocktail.
Yeah. I'm going to go. You know what? I'm going to go take a hot bath. See if that helps.
Take a hot bubble bath. Well, this was a Kick-Ass Love Story. Thank you guys for tuning in. Check us out every Wednesday at 12 p.m. on YouTube, OFTV. Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio, anywhere you get your podcasts. And be sure to tune in this Friday. Is my very first episode of Kick-Ass Cocktails. I teach you how to make this gorgeous beverage called Lavender Love Story. And it is really good.
It really is good.
It's going to get you buzzed.
Yeah.
And I wear a sexy, slutty little outfit and you get to watch me make drinks.
It really, truly is a good drink too.
So anyways, that's every Friday at 5 p.m.
All right.
We're out.